Traveling Travel Podcast.
Proud sponsors of TNT Extreme Wrestling and For the Love of Wrestling Convention.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Wrestling Travel Podcast. My name is Danny, and this week I am joined, of course, by the host of our lockdown sessions and US operations, Justin Clapper. And we also have a special guest from Sports Keita this week, Tom Collahue. Tom, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing very good. There's been a lot of wrestling on. I was going to say good wrestling, and then I remembered that not all of it is good wrestling, but there's been a lot of wrestling on to keep me entertained during my time sat at home, just basically spending my quarantine going for runs and sleeping. Good life. It's a good life.
It does sound quite the perfect time at the moment there. And Justin, how are you doing over there in the States?
Well, I feel bad that I haven't been going for runs now that Tom's calling me out on that. I don't know. I'm going to have to start it up. No, doing good. I'm on the same, kind of the same sleep schedule as Tom. The wrestling has been fast and furious. We've been having some great lockdown sessions, trying to get people to subscribe to our YouTube, trying to get people to subscribe to this podcast. It's a full-time gig, but we love it, don't we?
We certainly do. It keeps us going through this difficult time as we hopefully soon will see our way out of it. But let's take a look at the wrestling news so far this week. The first headline that I've pulled out here is the Kairi Sane farewell from Monday Night Raw. I mean, on the actual episode, she did get beat up. A typical WWE exit there for those who usually depart. But they did a fantastic video on YouTube, sort of summing up her time in the company, and gave her a fitting farewell that way. Tom, how did you feel about the exit of Kairi and obviously her moving back to Japan now to be with her family?
Well, probably the prevailing feeling for me was just disappointment. I felt after that first Mae Young Classic that Kairi Sane was really going to be a big player. I really enjoyed her match with Bianca Belair, her match with Dakota Kai. I really felt we were on to something special and we'd see her really soar in the company. That unfortunately didn't pan out. A lot of that ultimately probably comes down to the short amount of time that she was in the company and a lot of bad luck when it comes to injuries, concussions and the like. So I was disappointed, but at the same time, if that's her decision and that's what she wants to do, all power to her. There is, of course, discussion that she will be moving to an NXT Japan. If not for COVID-19 and the situation we're in now, NXT Japan was already supposed to have launched. So I'd imagine she would have had a prime role in that and could still be wrestling. So there's no guarantee that her wrestling career, even with the WWE, is over. And to be honest, wherever she lands, I'm excited to see what she does.
Most definitely, yeah. She's been fantastic during her time on NXT and WWE. One of the talents I always look out for in matches. Very good. Justin, how did you feel about the farewell this week on Raw?
Done right. I know you said WWE typical, but as you know, the world of pro wrestling, you do the honors. You go out, you put people over on your way out. Very similar to you guys. I'm sad to see her go. I enjoyed her time there. I really enjoy watching her. I'm excited to see what she can do in the future. Because now that I know her name, I'm not always able to follow Japanese wrestling like I want to, but now I know who she is. I can look out for her in the future. And now, is there any truth? I can't remember where I heard that rumor. Is she dating Evil from New Japan?
No, Io Shirai is married to Evil, so I can see where you got confused.
Io Shirai. Okay, somebody was talking about that. So, okay. And that's where my confusion was. That I thought maybe going back to hang out with New Japan and that. So Io Shirai, I look horrible now, but I assure you that was an honest mistake. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what she does next, and if there is indeed a NXT Japan.
Yeah, I don't know if you did see the farewell video that they did on YouTube, but it is very touching and very emotional to watch, just seeing how they sort of portray her exit in a sort of really appreciative way than normally we would see when superstars get released or fired, depending on the situation. Tom, did you manage to see that video? And do you think that's the way WWE should handle most exits, to be appreciative of their talent's efforts on the way out?
I've seen clips of the video, but haven't seen the full video yet. They obviously pushed it on social media, as they do with everything. And I do feel that is how they should approach this situation. But I also understand the business aspect, whereby, for example, John Moxley was pushed on his way out because he had assured them that he was not going to a competitor. Essentially, what happened there is they massively heated him up on the way to a competitor, which they really want to avoid doing. Now, Kairi Sane has essentially gone out on her back. Literally, in this case, she went out by taking a beating from Bayley with no one helping her and barely even helping herself, unfortunately, in that situation. So she's respected the company in doing that. The company have respected her. And I've got to say, Kairi Sane's one of those that even if she was planning to go to an AEW or go to Impact, they probably still would have done this because so many people backstage would have insisted. I think I first encountered Kairi Sane just before Survivor Series this year. And I was in a hotel in Manchester where all the wrestlers were as well. And I was interviewing certain wrestlers. And Kairi Sane was one of those who, whenever she went past, you'd have a small crowd of people around her. Sarah Logan in particular was always nearby, because she did struggle a little bit with the language and everyone was just helping her along to do this, helping her do this. And she was always constantly making jokes and making people laugh. And that's someone that you need in your company, someone to bring that levity. I think she would have had this regardless, but I also do agree that it's the right thing to do.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's. I mean, it did highlight, of course, just how well everybody did like her in the company and everything there. So, no, it's great to hear that story as well, that obviously she's very liked as well, sort of out there. But moving on to an interesting piece of news, and Tom, you may have a bit more information about this, but the location of SummerSlam, rumoured to be either on a cruise ship or on a beach. Any thoughts, any updates on that that you know of at all?
Well, there have been a number of reach outs to other states to try and essentially get the company and the recordings out of the Performance Center for a little while, just to bring some variety. SummerSlam is one of those that they desperately want to make it happen because they believe cinematic matches might be wearing thin. They have been leaning on cinematic matches to bring that variety for a while now. So they want to change the setting. Yes, there have been ideas of cruise ship and ideas of beaches, but Vince McMahon always has ideas, backup ideas, and then crazy ideas that are supposedly backup ideas, but tend to actually be the things that happen. So I'm not sure, and I, hand on heart, I have no idea where he's got this idea of putting wrestling on a cruise ship from, but we are where we are. And I know he's reached out to a number of different states, most of which have said no. I know a number of states have reached out to him. One of the most prominent ones is Oklahoma, which is unlikely to be a beach in Oklahoma, for example. So I think they are still going to work on what they can do. And if they get the information an hour beforehand, you can film on a beach in Georgia, they will do that. It's just that they have to make sure they are being very careful now, because obviously with the situation as it is, they cannot cut corners, they cannot take risks, and they have to be a lot more prepared than they have been in the past.
Most definitely. And no, it's great to hear that update there, especially about the states as well. Justin, what are your thoughts about SummerSlam there? Where would you like to see it being held, or would you just like to see it in the Performance Center just to keep everybody safe and sound for the time being?
Well, that's kind of a double-edged sword there, because I do want everybody to be safe and sound, but I'm saying, you know, if I had to pick a state, I would pick the great state of Wisconsin, right on the shores of Lake Michigan. We got beaches and everything if we were going to do that. Tom, I'm partial to Wisconsin because that's where I'm at right now. But otherwise, I want to know, does a certain company that we both know, Danny, weren't they partial to an island purchase recently?
Yeah, so our founder of Wrestling Travel, Lee McAteer, has actually invested with other people involved in an island, which is quite interesting. I can't remember the specific location of it, but they are looking to make it into like an Airbnb type sort of place. But maybe we should send feelers out to see if they want to host the event there.
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. I mean, all we need is a little wrestling travel sponsorship, maybe on the map there. But no, actually, I'm glad Tom brought up the cinematic matches are wearing thin. I was on board because we had entertainment. We didn't shut down like baseball and basketball over here, the NBA and MLB. So I was okay with the cinematic matches because at least we had our entertainment. But they were starting to wear very thin with me. And I do – if they got to do them, let's do them. But I don't want to get to the point where we're starting to fill stadiums and we're watching a WrestleMania match on the big screen. Although it would probably do better to watch a cinematic match on the screen than the blinding light I watched in New York with AJ Styles and Randy Orton. So obviously I want them to be safe, but I really, I'm really hoping we can get out in front of a crowd soon. So I did nothing about answering your question legitimately, but I would love to see it on a beach or an island, somewhere different than the PC.
Well, I'm sure they can make that happen, especially as you say, you've got an island you can use. I've met Lee. I met him briefly at the, I believe it was the Fight the Good Fight charity show. And I am eagerly waiting for my invite to come to this island and lays on a beach watching wrestling. I don't think anyone would complain about that.
We'll have to let you know.
We got Tom to help gang up on Lee here. We put a little pressure on him. We just got to call Vince and make it happen.
No, that's brilliant. But yeah, I mean, for me personally, I think the safest, I mean, if obviously everybody's getting tested and things of that nature, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it on a cruise ship similar to like, obviously Jericho's cruise there, providing obviously it's a safe environment for everybody to get on that and do it. I'm not so sure how a beach would work. I mean, it would have to be a very sort of remote beach, I think, to stop people turning up and trying to get a glimpse of things happening there. So I think the cruise may be just the way to go. But that's just my opinion, of course. They're not...
Well, here's my... Sorry to jump in there. I should have... I don't think... You know, you hear even pre-coronavirus, how many times has a cruise ship turned up with like the Norwalk virus or something really, really nasty going on where people sick on a cruise ship? So I don't know if containing a majority of the talent on a cruise ship during a time of a pandemic would be, because obviously you wouldn't be able to do that with fans. I wouldn't think, unless you have to have like a 14-day, I mean, never say never, but I just think the cruise ship one doesn't, is the least viable option, I think, in these crazy times, in my opinion.
Have the options been discussed at the moment? The cruise ship, if they were going to bring fans, it would be the same fans that they've got in the crowds for Raw and SmackDown at the moment. There is a 14-day quarantine period, and because of the way they're filming Raw and SmackDown, they would be able to honor that. They just filmed 3 weeks instead of two. Obviously, since they added the crowd to that, there's been a lot more leaks and spoilers, so they're very aware of that and trying to minimize that. However, I think the most likely situation is very similar to old WCW Bash at the Beaches, where you have a ring, you have a bit of a pool, you have a couple of people around, but you're still in a building, you're still in a closed set, and it's probably still at the performance center. Just someone gets thrown in a pool at the end.
And who do you think that'll be?
Braun Strowman all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. But yeah, also from Raw this week, we saw an attack from Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins on Aleister Black, reenacting the segment with Rey Mysterio with his eye being pushed against the steel steps there. And there are now rumors that Aleister Black is going to be repackaged. What do you think of the current Aleister Black character, or what have you thought of it for the last few years there, Justin?
You know, I like it. I like the entrance, but what I like more is I like his work in the ring, but I do believe that that character could be fleshed out a little bit more and a little bit, it's kind of one-dimensional, in my opinion. Like, I think the knock that I heard was McMahon doesn't think that for the long run that that's a viable character. Although, when I say one-dimensional, I look at a guy like The Undertaker, and that's obviously one-dimensional, but we had the various forms of, you know, the American Badass and stuff. I think he's a tremendous talent. He's got a great style in the ring. His entrance and theme song is killer. So I'm not quite sure where they're going to go. All I will say this to you, gentlemen, it's definitely a situation to keep an eye on. Nobody's going with me on that one? All right.
A nice little pun there to throw in there, Justin. But Tom, what are your thoughts on the segment and the next steps for Aleister?
Well, I was part of reporting on this one. We do a weekly SportsKeeder podcast over on the SportsKeeder YouTube channel, where last week I did report that Vince McMahon felt there was something missing from Aleister Black. That was confirmed this week by Alex McCarthy of TalkSport, who said that while Vince McMahon is a big fan of the performer, he does feel that the gimmick may be limiting. That's also then being confirmed by Dave Meltzer, saying we're likely to see some time off. And now Aleister Black himself has posted on his Instagram story something leading in that direction. So I can give you a little timeline there, because I'm essentially part of the reporting events. I'm a big fan of Aleister Black. I feel that his character was built in NXT, though, where the rules are slightly different. NXT has a very captive audience. It's a lot of the same people, and they are more willing to let people go, in the same way that if you're a football fan, Danny, or a soccer fan, Justin, the most successful clubs are the most hated. The WWE will never have people in that audience chanting WWE, WWE, but you will have people in NXT audience chanting NXT. You'll have people in AEW audience chanting AEW. NXT fans are more forgiving, which means characters can actually be more 2D in NXT. I look at Nikki Cross, for example. When she came up to the main roster, she needed to change her character a little bit to be taken a bit more seriously and to be a little different to fit that audience. It's a very different audience. NXT is a lot more hardcore, whereas Raw and SmackDown is a lot more casual. And Aleister Black, when he came up, wasn't really established as well as he could have been. It may be they just want to tweak the character to make it a bit more appealing to the casual audience. I have seen a number of tweaks already. First, he was locked in a room for a while. Then they added a creak to his entrance. Now the entrance is gone entirely and he's just running down and charging and launching himself over tables at Seth Rollins. Still a great wrestler, but being a great wrestler is not enough on Raw and SmackDown. There are thousands of great wrestlers. They want him to be a character that connects with people. I am a little bit disappointed they haven't been able to find a way to make this character, as he is, connect. But we are where we are, and whatever comes next, I hope it's a good one.
Yeah, most definitely. He is fantastic in the ring, and what you say about that connection is completely different, obviously, on NXT and the main roster. And we do find, of course, a lot of wrestlers that do come up or move from NXT to Raw or SmackDown. They don't have that same feel, that same reaction as they would there. So it will be interesting to see what direction they go in with Aleister Black moving forward. We do have a question. Oh, sorry, Justin, go ahead.
Sorry, I just want to interject here. I would request that when we have a professional wrestling journalist, that I get to go second on the question so I can sound a little bit smarter. That's all my request.
Yeah, I'm definitely asking you first every time now, Justin.
Oh, no.
But Tom, there was a question that me and Justin wanted to ask you. It was something we discussed last week on the podcast in regards to the Hall of Fame. Is there any informational news about that? If that's going to take place anytime soon?
When it was made clear to the company that WrestleMania would not be taking place in front of fans, and I actually reported this about 6 days before the announcement on my personal YouTube, it was also made very clear that there would not be a Hall of Fame ceremony. They pushed it back to SummerSlam. That was confirmed by Georgia Smith that this would be happening around SummerSlam when they expected fans to be back. They also penciled in Brock Lesnar for SummerSlam because they expected him to be back. They've had to row back on that as well. A lot's changed. Now, there are rumors of a show a week later after SummerSlam. There has been a rumor that it might be Evolution 2.0, which I can kind of see happening if SummerSlam has too many matches. They are trying to keep pay-per-views quite short at the moment. So maybe they split the men and the women up. But for me, if they're going to have a Hall of Fame ceremony, the week after, that would probably be the best time to do it. They could still have it as its own event. The only issue is, of course, when you don't have fans, they don't really want to have that Hall of Fame, because the Hall of Fame was actually quite a big earner when they did have fans in it, because essentially they didn't really have to pay to book anyone if it was giving them an award of some kind. They do need to have the Hall of Fame ceremony. They can't have a whole year go and nobody get the award. They are trying to make it happen, but we'll see how patient they are as regards to fans coming in.
Brilliant. No, that's a fantastic update that we were looking for there, following on from our sort of discussion last week. And what are your thoughts about that there, Justin?
Well, I'm glad we have some sort of direction. And I'm just trying to look up now, Tom, maybe another question I could ask. And I'll just ask you instead of looking it up. Were they already clear on, like, their legacy, like the Legends group for this year? I'm trying to see. I know we're talking.
Yeah, by January they knew exactly who was going to be in the Hall of Fame. They just hadn't announced all the names.
Okay, we just haven't seen it, because I see we've got, you know, Batista, the British Bulldog, but particularly when they do that, like last year they had Wahoo McDaniel and a few of the other guys kind of all lumped in together. I just hadn't seen that group of what I would call like the black and white era wrestlers announced yet. And yeah, I still don't see it.
They haven't announced everyone yet. When they decide when the actual show is going to be, we'll start getting drips of announcements to hype it up and make people watch it. Until then, they'll keep the names pretty close to their chest, because ultimately only Vince and Triple H will know them at the moment.
Yeah, I look forward. It's one of my favorite events. I just enjoy the stories. It would be different, obviously, without fans. I knew that they were going to probably change something up after the debacle with the Hart Foundation and the idiot fan. But I look forward to it, and hopefully it happens.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes peeled for that, to see any announcements or any details regarding that in the future. The next headline that I've got here is some comments that have been previously made by Impact Wrestling's latest additions, Eric Young and EC3. Eric Young in particular seems to bash Vince McMahon and his management quite a lot in the interview that I've read there. And EC3, I read it just a bit earlier about his feelings towards the sort of management of the WWE behind the scenes. What do we think of this there? Do we think it's just, bitter feelings? Do we feel that there is cause for concern there? I mean, we do get a lot of sort of conflicting information at times. Some people do like working in that particular way. Some people don't. Tom, what is your thoughts on the comments that they made?
The WWE is completely different to any other wrestling company in that, particularly during the time that Eric Young and EC3 were there, it is massively oversaturated with talent that they're trying to get in front of a casual audience and get over. They don't know who's going to get over because they're not trying to appeal to hardcore fans, I should say. When you try and appeal to a hardcore fan, by and large, you'll get the reaction you're looking for. You don't know whether you're going to get that. No, what I will say, Eric Young was given a chance in NXT. EC3 was given a chance in NXT. I don't feel they were given any real chance on the main roster. This is, of course, not the first time they have at least worked with the WWE, so they gave Vince McMahon a chance to change their minds. And unfortunately, we are where we are because it didn't work out for them in the best way. It didn't work out for them at all, as far as I can tell. The second they were both on the main roster, they sank like a stone. So it seems as though they are both willing to burn that bridge. I can't blame them for doing that. I can't see any reason they would ever go back, especially with Impact, AEW, New Japan, all of these different promotions doing extremely good work at the moment, really pushing to be that number two in competition with the WWE. I think their comments, I can't say whether or not they're justified because I don't know Vince McMahon personally. I don't know the exact specifics of their situation or both sides of that story. But if that's how they feel, they are entirely justified in saying so.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine there in terms of obviously the comments here. We do see quite a lot of these when superstars tend to leave. I know John Moxley's been vocal again about his sort of scripting and things there in WWE as opposed to how he's working with AEW now. But Justin, what are your thoughts about the comments? And of course, as mentioned there usually is these kind of things when guys do leave the company. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, same thing. If somebody leaves the company, makes a comment, then it's very easy for everybody else to kind of ride the coattails of that comment and agree. You don't see a whole lot of people disagreeing. Look, we wouldn't be where we are today without Vince McMahon and what he did. Now, I'm not saying everything Vince McMahon did was great, because as you know, Danny, I'm a territory guy. I'm an AWA guy, but he did put pro wrestling, sports entertainment on the forefront. Now, he is in danger of doing exactly what Vern Gagne did not do, is adjusting with the times and maybe changing everything. But he surrounds himself with a lot of good people, some not so great people. But I'll echo what Tom says. I don't know Vince McMahon personally. I can only take what everybody's comments are. And, you know, we're not there. And it's surprising I think a lot of the times the reason people will feel very free to speak out against somebody like Vince McMahon is that he is a businessman above all else. If he can bring John Moxley back, and make money, the comments are all water under the bridge. Business is business.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of one guy that has moved on fairly swiftly, Matt Cardona, who appeared on AEW last night, helping his friend Cody out there. I mean, what a great move for him. Obviously, being sort of lower card, mid card with WWE for such a long time, to now being quite impressive last night on AEW. What did you think of his appearance last night, Tom?
I think it's a good move for him personally. I do worry at the amount of people AEW is starting to pick up for the limited amount of TV time that they need to fill, to the point that now they have a women's tournament which isn't going to appear on Dynamite at all. They've picked up a lot of people and they haven't landed them in the best potential push or the like. Brody Lee came in with a big loss. Lance Archer came in with a big loss. Matt Cardona now has a bit of a hill to climb, but I do think it's a good addition, not just when it comes to wrestling talent, but also when it comes to adding yet another person who is a fantastic marketing genius who knows how to use the internet to get a hype going. And that is one thing that the Elite have always been extremely good at, and one thing that I feel will be even stronger now with the former Zack Ryder on their roster. This is someone who really has built things from the ground up and got a huge groundswell of people behind him. All they essentially have to do now is say to him, do what you want, and he will bring viewers to their TV show. So it's a good addition in that regard. I just hope he's at least pushed better than he was in WWE, because so far some of the additions to AEW have not hit the ground running.
Justin, what are your thoughts about the debut of Matt Cardona, former Zack Ryder in AEW?
He's definitely been hitting the gym, which is great. But I will totally echo what Tom said. AEW, now nobody's running house shows right now, and who knows if we get back to a house show model. But for a show that just airs the AEW with the Dark and the Dynamite on TNT, you're going to have a lot of talent. I really don't agree with a lot of the ways that they are running storylines and how they run AEW. Listen, I'm all for everybody, all the boys, all the girls having places to work. But sometimes, as Tom said, some of these guys land with a big loss, and it just doesn't make sense as a pro wrestling storyline. These big monsters. Who was I just talking about? Wardlow. You know, having this big monster thing with MJF, and then you get him in with a Marco stunt and stuff like that. I just wish the best for everybody, but like I believe he's going to get lost in the shuffle. That you need to do well, do the little things right. Like I always say with wrestling, good storylines, solid matches. I'm a fan of Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona. I wish him the best. I just don't know that some of these, and you got to go where the money is. But yeah, I echo Tom. They get a lot of people, not a lot of TV time. You're going to have to really sit down and think about how we're doing all these new additions. And with the talent that they have already, you know, I love seeing the former Zack Ryder getting an opportunity, but let's not blow an opportunity for somebody else. Dude, let's fit everybody into the puzzle. Maybe it leads to another show, maybe, but, yeah, I'm worried about the use of these guys.
My biggest concern continues to be the tag division. They built a strong tag division, and then they brought in someone on top of it. Then they brought on someone on top of it. Then they brought on someone on top of it. To the point now where there are so many tag teams that you could have a 4-hour show of all tag team matches. And it would be a great show, but you'd miss out on the women's division, the men's division, the two championships that they have that are actually legit championships. They need to trim down a little bit, or they need a second show and they need it soon, because the tag division is just not getting any love at all at the minute.
100%. And Tom, I haven't had a chance to really brush up on my AEW as much as somebody like you would have, but is that TNT title just like the old NWA TV title, is that to be defended every week on Dynamite?
To my knowledge, it doesn't have to be, but that's something that Cody wants to make happen. I feel it's a good way of keeping the title prominent, and it sort of protects the actual AEW championship by having it more rarely defended. It's similar to what the WWE were trying to do with the Universal Championship, but Brock Lesnar was never there, so it was a waste of time. This is one of the reasons you have mid-card championships, essentially. They will get more TV time. We're seeing it with the Intercontinental Championship as well at the minute on SmackDown. And you saw it for a long time with the X Division Championship. You need a workhorse championship, because your actual biggest star, the actual champion, should not be wrestling every week, because then there's no reason to tune in to see them every week, because you see them wrestle every week. Cody wants to be the one doing that. But to be fair to him, it's also getting Cody on TV in a wrestling match every single week as well. And I doubt he's going to complain about that.
The one thing, as I eat my words on bringing in too many talents, I love that we're seeing some of these indie guys such as Warhorse and these guys getting a little bit of rub on national television, because even if it's not, nothing's leading to a AEW contract, it is selling tickets on the indie scene and getting them in front of more faces. So I do love that aspect. Even while my previous comments were, I was afraid we have too many people and getting lost in the shuffle. So I'm a double-edged sword, I guess. Danny?
Yeah, speaking of, obviously, AEW's oversaturated roster, they did have the former Cameron Ariane Andrew appear last night on Dynamite, which was a surprise indeed to see her appear. Tom, are you interested at all in seeing her in AEW?
It's hard to say. There is certainly a casual draw because she was on Total Divas for a long time, which aired to a not strictly wrestling audience, but had a fan base that was non-wrestling. So she brings in more eyes in that way. It makes business sense to bring her in. However, it's been a long time since I've seen her in a wrestling ring. There is nothing saying she hasn't spent all that time becoming the best women's wrestler in the world. There is literally nothing saying that. So that certainly piques my interest. However, with the group she's in, I don't think they need any other talkers. I don't feel she really fits the aesthetic. However, it's just been 1 week. So maybe we will see that soon. Once again, my concern, as you might expect, is that she's going to get lost in the shuffle. She seems to have been added where she's been added to make up a tag team, which will not be airing on Dynamite. So it seems like a bit of filler. I hope that's not the case.
Justin, were you a fan of the Funkadactyls?
Who was not a fan of the Funkadactyls? I unfortunately lost my fandom with her watching Total Divas. Well, I know that scripted, she came off as a little bit arrogant for my taste. But hey, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. Can they build a women's tag team division? I don't. What women's tag teams do they have right now, and where do they go? How deep? You know, you're going to have to add more, aren't you? Because I haven't heard much about Riho. Any of the other women? I'm all for. You know me, Danny. I love women's wrestling. I love it. The kick-ass women's wrestling, not the eye candy. I'm a fan of eye candy. Trust me, fellas. But I love when this women's movement, where they're putting on killer matches. And now, do they need to add? How many more women do they need to add to do this tag team division? And then it's obviously going to take away airtime from everybody else. So we're right where we're at with the Matt Cardona thing. How are we squeezing everything in?
Yeah, we'll certainly see, of course, how that develops over the next few weeks, how she fits into plans moving forward. One big question that we did want to ask you, Tom, in regards to WrestleMania. What is the latest that you've heard on that, if anything at all, in terms of location, if going ahead, all that sort of thing there?
The working plan at the moment is that WrestleMania will take place exactly where WrestleMania was originally going to take place. Nothing will change unless the situation becomes so drastic that they are forced to stay at the Performance Center. I know it's in the news at the moment that this might change, they're postponing this. In reality, everything is still booked. All the deposits have been paid. They are simply waiting to see if we get to the point where they have to cancel. Even this year's WrestleMania, if they'd have been told an hour beforehand you can do it in the arena with fans, they would have shipped everyone immediately there. They would have used Brock Lesnar's private jet to get the first match there, and they would have just done the best they could with it. So that is exactly what the situation is for this year. It is business as usual until it isn't.
Brilliant. And Justin, do you want to weigh in with anything there at all?
So we're saying that the current plans, because I've heard rumors that they might shift back to Tampa, but we're staying in LA for as business as usual, Tom?
Business as usual at current. You have to remember this is, 9 months away? Let's say 8 months away. a lot can change in 8 months, and they will hedge their bets that they'll be able to put on a show at that time.
Okay. That's good news that you hear so much stuff. I know if it stays in LA, that saves Lee McAteer a phone call to Jane Caster, which I know he'll be happy about, Danny.
Yeah, he's a big fan of Jane Caster, isn't he? The Tampa. Was she the Tampa governor? Was she?
Yeah,
fantastic. No, brilliant.
Just, you hear a lot about WrestleMania because it makes headlines. People see WrestleMania and they click. It's a bit of clickbait to it. There's a couple of accounts which and people who have information about things like that. They have contacts at that level. Anything else, keep a track on who you're listening to, because more often than not, what you're going to hear is there's a plan to move WrestleMania. Then you won't hear about it for months because they've made it up to get clicks. You've got to be careful in this one. And this is one of the most prominent things you are going to hear from people who do make things up.
Yeah, I mean, from our perspective, yeah. It's obviously great news to hear that with our VIP travel packages, which are still on sale at this time, which you can purchase for $199 deposit, and you can also, of course, pay the rest of that amount over the spanning months until the end of January. There, all the information is on www.wrestlingtravel.org. Or you can contact us on our social channels for more information there. But no, fantastic news to hear. And hopefully things do improve over in the States and in the world in general there, of course, over the next few months where that can go ahead. I don't suppose, Tom, you've heard anything about the Rumble? Anything about that at all?
Nothing really. We were supposed to hear something already, but we haven't had any sort of formal announcement. They do want the Royal Rumble to take place at a baseball stadium again. They are very happy with the reception of the last 2 years. And it allowed them to have that moment with Edge where it took him that extra moment just to get up the stairs and unveil himself, as it were. They want to be, or at least the WWE plan was, to have their big shows become even bigger. So Royal Rumble was the next one to get to the massive stadiums and to be aiming to shoot for that 100,000 that WrestleMania gets. Then it would have been SummerSlam, then Survivor Series, and on and on and on. That was the plan. Let's just say 2020 has been one massive setback.
Yeah, no, it's been a terrible year for everything in general, really, with the virus there. But Justin, do you have any questions at all for Tom whilst we've got his precious time at the moment on the podcast?
That is on the spot. No, I kind of asked like the Hall of Fame question. Tom, what are you, just your personal opinion, did you get a Slammiversary Impact? And one of the things I took away from that is watching shows without fans has been rough, but my comments on Slammiversary were, I didn't really notice the lack of fans, and I was really... I try to avoid spoilers, but I think they did a really good job of keeping surprises up. What were your opinions on Impact's Slammiversary and where they're at now?
They did a great job keeping certain surprises quiet. Admittedly, they teased everything, and that's what got the major hype going. I think they delivered essentially what they promised. One of my colleagues, Gary Cassidy at SportsKeeda, had information about Gallows and Anderson, where they were heading. So that did get out beforehand, but really that just seemed to add to the hype. I think Slammiversary delivered in that regard, delivered in ring. And when you talk about the lack of fans, I think there's a lot to be said for certain conditioning. And I always think this when I'm watching New Japan and they start to do the count out. And when it reaches 10, I have a moment of panic thinking the match is over, but New Japan count outs go to 20. There is a conditioning aspect. We have been conditioned to expect crowds. We have been conditioned to expect reactions. Then they went to no crowds and we were slowly reconditioned to expect nothing. Then we had the point where they went to a slight crowd, first in AEW, then WWE, and then we were reconditioned in that way. Now rolling back, I mentioned New Japan, they had the New Japan Cup and Dominion, well, New Japan Cup had no fans and then Dominion had a small crowd, a half crowd, I should say. And then Slammiversary, which had no one, but we've already been conditioned towards that. So it's not particularly jarring anymore. I think we're going to see a lot of mixed ways of doing things. And I think at this point, we're now ready for it.
One more question, if I can, while we're speaking of New Japan. Do you have any, has anything come out about Wrestle Kingdom? Or any news there?
Japan are in a very, very good position. New Japan in particular have been able to bring back fans spread out. As far as they're concerned, their normal schedule will be resuming as best it can from here on out. We will have the G1. That will be leading into Wrestle Kingdom. As far as they are concerned, there is nothing preventing Wrestle Kingdom from going ahead as planned.
Perfect. No, that's great to hear. And of course, we hope that that does go ahead and that, of course, travellers that we have currently booked on for that trip are able to head there. We do have travellers coming from the States, obviously the UK, and also from Europe as well. So that'll be good for those guys to hear as well.
Okay, I just want to remind everybody out there listening that Wrestling Travel, we're more than just a travel company. We're more than just a podcast. We've got our own YouTube channel, and it is growing like, well, it's growing like hotcakes is not even the right term, but we are featuring a lot of interviews with talent, whether they're on the independent scene, whether they've retired. We're getting a lot of big names like Nikita Koloff, our friend Tyson Dukes, recently Ricardo Rodriguez. So please go to our YouTube channel, Wrestling Travel, subscribe. We're giving away a lot of prizes on our quest for 1,000 subscribers. So I've got a poster signed by Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan. I got some WWF cookout gear for the summer. But please, what I know about the YouTube current model, if you don't have time to go there and watch a little bit of a video, don't subscribe yet. Get a chance where you can sit down, watch a couple things, watch a few minutes, hit your subscribe. Otherwise, the subscribe does not count and you're going to miss out on tons of prizes. So please find Wrestling Travel at YouTube and subscribe. And while you're at it, subscribe to this podcast and leave us some feedback. I'd love to read the feedback. Wrestling Travel is very proud to be once again a sponsor of Warrior Wrestling out of Chicago. Warrior Wrestling is having a huge return to live pro wrestling. We're going to have social distancing there. They're going to have the masks. They're going to have the hand sanitizer. They're going to spread you all out, but they are still going to have their fan fest. Where is it going to take place? Outside in the football stadium in Chicago, under the lights, Friday night lights on Saturday. Excuse me. Why would it be on Saturday, Danny, when it's a Friday night light show? Friday night, August 7th. Some of the matches that you will see, watch Brian Pillman Jr. defend his recently won Warrior Wrestling Championship against Robert Anthony. See Ray Lynn take on Impact's number one contender, Kylie Ray. And this is the big one. Are you ready for this? Brian Cage versus Jeff Cobb. And guess what? If you can't make it to Chicago, how are you going to do this? Are you going to find out the results later? No. You can go ahead and subscribe, order it on Fight TV. I know you can go to Wrestling Travel's Twitter page because we will be giving out an exclusive code. So somebody is going to watch Warrior Wrestling for free. Warrior Wrestling is one of the greatest independent promotions going right now. So if you haven't caught it yet, you got to check it out. Warrior Wrestling, Friday Night Lights, August 7th. All right, and we want to thank this week's very special guest, Tom Colihue from Sportskeeda. Tom, how can we keep up with, you know, I think I've got to keep up with you. Having you on the show has been awesome. You, this fountain of knowledge that I'm learning, and I hope we can have you on many more times in the future. But for everybody listening, how do we keep track of you?
Well, thank you for the kind words there. I'd love to be on again in future. I had a lot of fun. If anyone here does not know me, which I'd imagine is the vast majority of you, I am SportsKeeda's senior journalist, Tom Collihue. I do live streams at 5 p.m. on UK time, and that is 12 p.m. noon EST on the SportsKeeda Facebook page. I have my own personal YouTube channel where I do in-depth analysis, news, reviews, and there is always quite a lot of exclusive news in there. Or you can find me on Twitter at Collihue, that is C-O-L-O-H-U-E. I do live tweeting for most pay-per-views, at least the WWE ones, when I can be awake, given UK time, because you can't always be awake till 5 a.m. But I look forward to seeing you all there.
Awesome. Thank you, Tom. And yeah, if it was up to me, we'd have you on every week. That you'd be answering all my questions. That would be awesome. So really, really good to meet you. Really great to have you on.
Thank you very much. Like I say, quite enjoying it. I always enjoy talking wrestling with a few passionate people.
Speaking of talking wrestling, Danny, let's say I can't get Fight TV. I'm in the UK. I can't get my Fight TV. My friends aren't loaning me their Fight TV code. I didn't win the wrestling travel contest. Is there any chance that there's going to be any live blogging going on for Warrior Wrestling on Friday night?
Yep. So on the wrestling travel website, www.wrestlingtravel.org, I will be live blogging the event with updates and coverage of the Friday Night Lights show there. We do tend to do most pay-per-view events. So if you don't get a chance to watch or have the access to watch, you can always follow it through our website at wrestlingtravel.org. So yeah, check it out next Friday or even the day after if you're just looking for some quick updates.
Awesome.
And now it is time for the main event, the wrestling travel quiz. This week, Justin has an opponent in Tom Collihue from SportsKeeda. And this week's theme, are you ready for it, is SummerSlam. Justin, how do you feel about that? Do you know your knowledge of SummerSlam?
Well, no, I was hoping it would be another AWA quiz, but I see that's gone out the window, and I just want to verify that I'm going against a professional, and I want to use every excuse I can prior, but I really want to brag it up if I win, so I'm kind of caught in the middle, but yeah, I'm ready.
I am fully prepared to disappoint you both.
Well, here we go. Question number one. There is five questions in total. And how do we want to do this? Because we can't do any buzzing in or anything there.
Why don't you go ask Tom a question as a guest? All right. And his answer, if he gets it right away, correct, that's his question. And then, I don't know, I didn't really think this out. Then you can go to me and we can see where we're at the end.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'll go to one of you.
I don't think anybody really expects much out of this segment anyway, so.
I believe it's the most listened to segment. but here we go. The first question. The first ever SummerSlam in 1988. The main event was the Mega Powers versus the Mega Bucks. So Hogan and Savage versus Andre and Ted DiBiase. But who was the special guest referee for that tag team main event? Tom, do you know the answer?
I believe it was Jesse the Body Ventura.
Justin, would you agree?
You know what? I know Jesse did it when he was governor. I'm gonna agree, but I'm gonna go with I'm not real sure. So Tom would get the nod if this is correct. Because I'm just agreeing, not based on anything I know.
No problem. But yeah, Tom is absolutely right there. It was Jesse Ventura who was the special guest referee for that tag team main event.
That is legendary, man. That's Miss Elizabeth ripping her skirt off.
Yeah, I thought Justin might have brought that up, actually.
You know what threw me is I thought that the first main event was Hogan and Beefcake against Zeus and Mach. So that's where I was lost.
When you said about Ventura being a referee when he was governor, that was 2000 when it was Stone Cold, Triple H, and Mick Foley.
Not even fair, Danny.
No, that was 99. And I remember that because that's the time when Austin leaned over the rope because Shane McMahon had just been thrown out, and he spun around, got his legs trapped, and just hung there for a minute or so. It's very entertaining.
Yeah, we'll have to go back and watch that again. But yeah, it is Tom who gets the point there, I'm afraid, Justin, for the answer. So sorry, my friend. Number two, I will come to you first on this one, Justin, to try and worm your way back into this. But WWE began a run of six straight SummerSlams at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Which match main evented the first event at the Staples Center in 2009?
John Cena. I could tell by your silence I'm wrong already. I don't know. Cena, Punk? I know that's more 2011, but that's my answer. Lock it in.
Tom, what are you going with?
This is a very good question. I'm not that sure, so I am kind of guessing here. I'm going to say Punk and Jeff Hardy.
Tom is correct. It was CM Punk versus Jeff Hardy, and it was a tables, ladders, and chairs match. It was
That's when The Undertaker appeared at the end. Yes.
Yeah, so I think Jeff Hardy left just after this point for a short while, I believe, on a edition of SmackDown following that in a cage. But yeah, another point for Tom there. But Justin, in the right direction there, we're getting Punk. Maybe I can give you half a point for that. No? Okay. Question number three. SummerSlam 2003 featured an Elimination Chamber main event for the World Heavyweight title. Can you name all six competitors? Tom, I'll come to you on that one.
Okay. Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Goldberg, Chris Jericho. Then it gets more difficult.
Yeah.
I want to say... Edge. And Rob Van Dam.
Oh, it looks like we've lost...
We have, yeah, he's dropped out.
We've lost Justin.
Hello?
Justin, are you there, my friend?
I am. I didn't want you to think I hung up on you guys because I was losing. The internet just went out. We're back.
No worries. Did you hear the last question at all?
No, I went silent. I thought maybe that Tom gave up. He thought he had a 2-0 lead, and he got scared because I was very confident. So I thought maybe he said, I give up. I can't beat this guy.
That's probably for the best because I had a lot of confidence in several of the names there, which may have given the game away a little bit. I'm confident I got 5 out of 6, but let's see how we go.
What's the question?
So, yeah, Justin, the question is, SummerSlam 2003 featured an Elimination Chamber main event for the World Heavyweight title. Can you name all six competitors?
2003. Cena. I don't even know who's in there in 2003. I'm going to be embarrassed. Cena, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Kane, Undertaker, Foley. Do I need one more? Batista.
Have you just pulled some names out of a random hat there?
Yeah, maybe Jericho. I don't know. That's what I'm going with.
No worries. So the answer is Triple H, Goldberg, Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels, Randy Orton, and Kevin Nash.
So all I technically got was Goldberg, or not, or Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Because Jericho was my throw-in at the end that I would already guess. So.
Yeah, I think Tom got 4 out of 6 there.
Yeah, I got 4. The last two, as you could tell, were kind of guesses.
Yeah.
I just remember Rob Van Dam crushing Triple H's throat and then the match just continuing. But Triple H was in like 8 elimination chambers, so it could be any of them.
Yeah, I think that one was the first one, I think, of Survivor Series, 2002. I think RVD was in that one there. But no, fantastic guesses there, of course. Justin, I'm going to give you this one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Question 4. SummerSlam 1992 from Wembley Stadium in London. The British
Bulldog, Bret Hart. Done.
Oh, yeah. The British
That's
Bulldog.
His answer. That is his answer.
Yeah, British Bulldog defeated who to become the Intercontinental Champion? You've already mentioned Bret Hart. Tom, would you agree?
I would definitely agree. I have all the stories about this one, a legendary British Bulldog being carried so heavily and admitting to himself because of how hungover he was, Bret Hart.
No, that's brilliant. But Justin, you've got a point there. Fantastic. You're back on the board, I think. But on to question 5, the last question. SummerSlam 2015 saw a 3-team women's elimination match between Team PCB, Team BAD or Team Bad, and Team Bella. But who were the 3 women on Team Bad? Tom.
It was Sasha Banks, Naomi, and Tamina.
Justin, would you agree, or do you think someone else was in?
I would agree because I have no idea. I don't get the point, so no, I'm just glad that I can agree, so I'm not guessing people out of their eras, and I didn't guess Leilani Kai, Sherry Martel, and Candy Devine.
Yeah, no, we best stick to AWA next week for you there. But yeah, Tom's got it spot on. Naomi, Sasha Banks, and Tamina. So yep, Tom has won this 5-question round of the SummerSlam questions. Tom,
yeah, that match was a month after the WWE invented women's wrestling.
Yes, straight after they invented women's wrestling, which had never been seen before anywhere. In the world. But Tom, it has been great having you, and congratulations on winning the quiz. As we said, we'd love to have you back again sometime in the future. But yeah,
I have a crown to defend now, so.
Yeah, you do. We'll have to get you someone else to compete against if Justin's obviously not up to the SummerSlam challenge. But Justin, what did you want to weigh in with there, my friend?
I wanted to say that before we ever started the podcast, I was so excited about the quiz and how great I was going to be at them. And I have proven week after week that I don't. You know what, though? I did better on our quizzes than I've done on our friend Paul Benson's quizzes. So I'm going to it's not how many times I get thrown off the horse, it's how many times I get up. So I'm going to dust myself up and get ready for next week. But
if you run this podcast for the next year and have a quiz every time, you will be the best at wrestling trivia we have ever seen by the end of it, I tell you that.
That's all I'm looking for. By the way, Tom, who main evented Super Clash 3 in 1988?
No idea.
All right. That's an AWA question. So. All right. No, I'm just giving you the business. Thanks, buddy. It's awesome to meet you. I cannot wait to have you on in the future. And it's if I had to lose to anybody, at least I did not lose to Danny. That's my only saving grace.
It was my pleasure being on. Thank you very much, both of you, for the invite.
And that is all for the Wrestling Travel Podcast, Episode 4. And we'll see you again next week for Episode 5. As we dive into the world of wrestling and another quiz, and we'll see who we can pit Justin against next time. Thank you very much. Take care.